You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
All righty, we're live. How's it going, everyone? This is Mateusz Przędybu again. Also go by Matt Detroit on social medias. And today I am interviewing someone I have known for a while. He has been in the music scene of Detroit for a very long time, over a decade. And I have the pleasure of speaking with him. He has DJed at multiple locations. Some of them include Temple Bar, Marble Bar, Whiskey Disco, just to name a few. He is renowned. There's actually people who I have no connection to him who have, when I asked, they knew about him. So it's just cool to see his name and just to watch him grow over the years. Jerry Downey Jr.
Hey, thanks for having me, Matt.
Yeah.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, for sure. So basically, I want to talk about on today's episode just kind of like how you got started, how like the whole Detroit scene is. A couple other things about what you want to kind of do in the future and things like that. But yeah, man. So I guess first question now, how was lunch? What'd you have for lunch?
For lunch, had a nice smoothie.
Nice, cool. Yeah, I had Chipotle. But I guess kind of going into it. So I've known you for a while, probably like late high school, early college. And we met through a friend, John, who was actually on a previous episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Looking forward to hearing that.
Yeah. So, ever since I've known you, you've been into music. Has it like been something you grew up with, or was it like something that just kind of came about later on in life?
Oh, I guess after elementary, going into middle school is when I really started picking up music.
That's early.
Started, my father borrowed a guitar from my aunt, and okay. She used to tour with George Clinton and. So, the Funkadelic.
No way.
She's from Windsor originally. And yeah, he never picked up the guitar. So, one day I eventually picked it up, you know, as a preteen and slowly learned how to play guitar through the internet and started progressing from there, you know, started getting interested in recording around that time, around middle school. I was using. Adobe actually owns it now, but Cerulean used to make it. It used to be called Cool Edit Pro before it was Adobe Audition.
Okay.
And yeah, so I had a copy, you know, a pirated copy of Adobe,
yeah.
Or not Adobe, but Cool Edit Pro 2.0 on my Windows 98 computer and slowly learned how to multi-track record. And then, you know, the next thing was, you know, oh, we want drums, so started dabbling in that and...
Would you, like, record songs and stuff? Because, I feel like that's, like, probably a little bit of, like, guitar and drum that's, like, classic, like, music and style. And then, like, more electronic, like, making music is different. Would those, like, overlap a lot or was it just
They actually did because I didn't have many people to jam with. And, you know, I would try to do bands with friends, but they were very short-lived. Mm-hmm. But eventually I started, you know, since I had to depend on myself, I eventually looked into a digital audio workstation where I could actually track drums, you know, program drums, and then play guitar over them.
Okay, cool. So it's like basically you got a couple things going on, and this is all like in like high school and even like junior high and stuff?
Yeah, junior high, high school. And, you know, I was using a digital audio workstation mainly from a rock and roll perspective, you know, programming drums that way. But then started getting more interested because they had synthesizers built in. So I started learning how to make patches and how, you know, basic subtractive synthesis works and started creating songs that way. And I guess that was, you know, my introduction into electronic music.
Okay, cool. So you're actually like making like music of your own because I know like mm-hmm. – You know, I don't know too much about it, but, like, there's a pretty big distinction of, like, making your own music versus, like, getting tracks and from other people and playing that for a different night. But you actually were getting to the point where you're creative and, like, making your own stuff.
Oh, yeah. I still have, you know, a couple of guitars. Nowadays, I've got many synthesizers.
Yeah.
But, in high school, played in bands, used to throw shows, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. We'd have them in my friend's basement. You know, we had parents who just kind of drank wine upstairs and let us do whatever. We used to skateboard in the basement and throw rock and roll shows.
Nice. Yeah. Classic stuff right there. And then so you kind of like started to get progressing more in the like the digital sphere, and you eventually started like, because obviously at this point this is like what you do, right? Mm-hmm. Career wise. So what like what stage did it kind of turn from a hobby into like a profession? Was it gradual? Was it like all of a sudden you're like, oh, I can make money doing this?
Or? It was gradual. You know, it took a while to build up, you know, contacts for the industry and build up, you know, a name and a reputation. But I would say probably within the last 2 years, you know, I was focusing on school and relationships more so. But like within the past 2 years that I've had more time, I've been able to pick up more gigs and be more active in it. And, you know, nowadays I've probably played 50 gigs between September now.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you're very active.
Yeah, usually about 8 or 10 a month. You know, I'm trimming back this month, but, you know, just staying consistent.
Okay. Yeah, I got you. So you probably, like, what is it, like have deals with, like, certain locations like restaurants or bars or venues?
Yeah, I'll usually do, you know, a monthly night, you know, whether it's third Saturday of the month, or even I do even do a week night that's a monthly. But also been doing weekly residencies where I'm there every Friday.
Okay.
But yeah, just filling out your schedule that way and managing time in between.
Is it like tough to like plan it out? Like time management, I think, is going to be, especially going to school. I know you've been going to school too. And, like during that period, like it's, I'm sure it's hard and hectic, and it's almost like opposite schedules, you know, because this stuff kind of goes on late into the night sometimes. And, you know, the whatever at school or other jobs, it's not. So like, I'm just like kind of curious about like your time management and like how you manage to like book everything.
Oh, barely. By the skin of my teeth. Okay. Yeah. But I mean, time management's pretty important for, you know, I have a pretty easy semester at school right now. I'm in my last 4 credits of my accounting program. So I'm only taking one class.
Congrats.
I have to dedicate a lot of effort into it, but, you know, things are relatively easy. I would say, you know, like Sundays is when I'll do a lot of you got to wear, you know, when you're throwing shows and promoting and also DJing, you have to really focus on the promotion aspect of everything. And I rely on I don't really have a team. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of a one-man show, so I have to do all the graphic design. So usually Sundays and Tuesdays I'll dedicate to doing that. I like to publish events Sunday night when people are, you know, looking at their phones or whatever before bed or even in the afternoon.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. So it's like, yeah, that's another thing. It's like I always find interesting it with like creative individuals is like where they – a lot of creativity comes from just kind of like being laid back and like in some weird ways it just hits you at random times. But also, like, running a business, you also have to be on time. You have to kind of
– yeah, you have to look at – you have to get together, you know, a good schedule for publishing content, and you have to consistently publish content. Like, I try to make some type of content through either my Instagram or Facebook every 2 days.
Okay. So that's a lot. That's
yeah. Fun. Honestly, if you're not – if you're not
– it doesn't sound like a lot because it's like, oh, like, you have 48 hours to, like, think of one thing, but, like – yeah. It's nonstop.
But like you said, sometimes you'll have an idea and you will have to wait because, you know, there are times where visibility is low and you got to figure out when it's ideal to publish something or, you know, share.
And so you kind of actually probably got into a lot of like the background stuff of social media. Of like
All the marketing stuff, you know, I've been to business school, so that helps out a bit.
Okay.
But just finding out, you know, what works with your audience, you know, and where to go from there and how to be consistent with what you're doing.
How is it? How is like growing an audience? Obviously having a lot of time and doing this for years and years, it builds up, but is it just like,
so my company, Sexual Tension Detroit, we've had a Facebook page for, we just celebrated our 8-year anniversary in November, but we've only had our Facebook page for maybe 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But, that's just organic growth. You know, I feel like 6 years ago, things were much different with people weren't overwhelmed with content like they are today.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you get an invite to an event or to like a page every couple minutes.
Yeah.
Right? So it's hard to stay up with that. But
So you think it's harder now?
Like, yeah, it's definitely harder now.
Okay. Okay, yeah. See, I mean, I wouldn't know too much about that, but...
Well, Facebook and Instagram, you know, they're owned by the same parent company, and it's all about... 6 years ago, it was probably right before they started pushing the advertisement.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's all paid ads nowadays. So, I mean, I'm sure those work great. I don't personally do them.
I was going to ask if, like, you've seen any benefit from that. Because I know you can do by location, and if it's, like, if your kind of crowd is, like...
Oh, yeah, you can really narrow down your metrics, but... I personally don't do that. No, yeah. I just, you know, word of mouth. A lot of my parties are underground, so I'll mm-hmm. still do, like, business cards and advertise that way. And, like, you'll slowly get a following.
You know, okay, cool.
If you're doing something that people aren't into, they'll find it and you'll find them.
Nice. Okay, so just good organic growth and just being consistent with it.
Yeah.
And people that actually show up, they either know about you or they got invited through a friend or something like that, and it's... It's probably, like, since it's your thing, like, they'll know where to find you just because it's
yep.
Sexual Tension Detroit, STD, boom, and right there. And, like, it's – they follow you from that.
Yeah.
Okay, cool, nice. So you've been doing this for a while, and, like, one thing I was really curious about was, I guess this kind of ties into running a business, is, like, how do you, like, grow your reputation? Is it just through just – the same thing as a
just the way you do business should be people should like to do business with you because of the way you do business, you know, whether it's through the way you build relationships or, you know, making sure you pay up front, you mm-hmm. know, that has a lot to do with DJing.
Oh, really?
Is, you know, or booking shows or any production, making sure you're able to cover costs up front. You know, making sure you're providing a safe environment for people.
Oh, so is that that's like on you, or is that on?
Oh, them? Yeah, of yeah. course. Oh, yeah. Wow, if okay. I'm gonna put my name on anything, I'm gonna have my
wow
you know, say in it.
That's like something you don't even really think about. You think it's like okay, you just kind of show up and stuff, and like
no, a lot of work goes into making an event happen.
So is there so I'm just curious about that. So there's like making sure it's safe, the people that like. You're bringing are good or like what? Like
well, just like the it depends on, you know, we do a lot of bar nights.
Is there like rules you kind of like there are like a tone or something you set up or?
Well, it really depends on, you know, what we're looking at. If we're doing a underground party.
Yeah.
Then, you know, it really depends on, you know, what kind of conditions the building in.
Okay.
Is the roof leaking, you know. Things like
oh,
that.
Oh, I got you.
Is there soap in the bathroom? You'd be surprised how overlooked all these little things are.
Wow.
So just like the logistics of making sure everything's safe.
Yeah, I mean,
especially
doing this
in
for
some
a
of
while.
The neighborhoods we're in, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It's still like a very kind of like experimental areas that you can like go into. It's like they could be good, they could be.
I mean, people have been throwing
shitty.
Underground parties for a long, long time, but.
Yeah, especially in Detroit. I mean, like, I feel like this is like.
Oh, yeah, we have a rich history.
Yeah, so I mean. I've been to a lot of upscale, a lot of downscale, a lot of underground stuff, and like it totally ranges. I'm usually cool with everything, but yeah, there's some places
yeah,
where
same.
It gets.
I try to do a nice mixture, you know, whether it's, you know, a legal warehouse rave or, you know, I've been doing a really nice French restaurant in Midtown.
Okay.
Or, you know, the dive bar for 15 people on the weeknight. You know, I try to stay consistent with, you know, doing something that. Pretty much anyone can enjoy.
Okay. As far as, like, venues, when did you start doing venues?
Okay, so...
Or, like, even underground, you know?
I guess, Sexual Tension Detroit started in fall of 2011. We had a friend who moved in with a buddy of his that he knew through work, and they had a loft space at a warehouse right by Belle Isle on Lafayette. And... there was already staging there. It was an 8,000 square foot warehouse they had, you know, full rain over. And, you know, I looked in there and I'm like, this used to be a party spot, you know. We should throw a rent party or something.
And that's kind of how it started. So you guys threw a party and then just overdeveloped. Like, obviously you've been doing it for a minute now. So have you, like, noticed the scene change at all? Like,
oh, absolutely. Yeah. Many of my friends have, like, moved away and my audience has completely shifted.
Really? Okay.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So what was it like early days, I guess you could say? Like,
early days,
you know,
was a lot easier. People were more responsive on social media. and you could just, you know, post like the address like the day of, and everyone would know. But nowadays we have to be more careful, and you know, we tell people to message us for the address nowadays. So,
oh, wow.
Just for the sanctity of the party to keep everything, you know.
Huh. Okay.
Cool. Out of the limelight or whatever, but yeah, it used to be a lot easier to do stuff, you know. I feel like a lot more of my friends lived here.
Okay.
I'm not saying I don't have friends here now, but but yeah, things have definitely changed. I've seen like the crowds completely shift at my events. And
what's the crowd like starting out versus like now?
I mean, we were all younger. I was throwing parties when I, you know, I was throwing dance parties when I was 19. So a lot of younger crowd.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A lot of, you know, a lot of friends of mine would go to like CCS or Wayne. And then a lot of people I went to high school with. Like we had a pretty good group of people. But nowadays, much more diverse, which mm-hmm. I'm absolutely okay with and yeah. prefer. And
so is it like now, like, do you get like a lot of people who you have never met, like kind of like walk in or like whatever venue you're at, you're like the kind
yeah, of... Nowadays, for the most part, I try to keep my parties at about 100 people is where I feel most comfortable with, just because like you'll have, you know, one degree of separation from about 90% of those people.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, makes things that much more safer for everyone.
Yeah, I really like that. Like, I think that's, like, super interesting to have, like, one degree of separation to, like, almost everyone there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of like it's not – you still feel like there is, like, random people and it's new and
yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, or if you know that person came with so-and-so and you know them through mm-hmm. so-and-so, like,
some sense of like responsibility too, and that, you know, it's like if you bring someone mm-hmm. and you know they're good, and like they bring someone, then you kind of know they're good too.
Yeah, but you know, when you go over 100 people at a party, you start to not know everyone, and you know, it gets outside of your community,
mm-hmm.
and then that's, you know, we try to avoid things like inappropriate touching or,
yeah,
you know, people being a little too hedonistic and indulging
yeah.
at the party. So
cool. Okay. So basically it's like I didn't even think about that. So you don't want too many people because then it like things get out of control, obviously.
No. Yeah. I'm comfortable with 100 people.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm a one man operation.
Yeah.
We'll have bigger parties like our anniversary party. We had like just over 200 through the door.
Okay.
But
would you like need security at that point? Like,
oh yeah, I've got a good friend who does security for me, a big Russian fellow.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, he takes no shit.
Yeah.
So it's always good to have, you know, someone keeping an eye on things.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like that'd be pretty important, especially, I mean, like, I guess any city, but like Detroit especially can get kind of crazy at times. But, you know, it's like for overall, I think it's pretty rare. I think usually stuff doesn't go down, or maybe I just don't see it as much.
No, you just gotta make sure, you know,
up front.
No weapons, or, you know, if you accidentally brought your gun, go put it in your car. Come on in, party with us.
Yeah.
No weapons or anything. Try to avoid that, or markers where, you know, they can, anything that could damage the space potentially.
Gotcha.
Gotta respect the spaces that, you know, we party at. We always clean up and, you know, and put a lot of prep work into it and decoration. So
that is nuts. This is like even the cleanup, like that's kind of wild. Like, but that, I mean, obviously, like that's a cool thing. But
yeah,
it's
not fun, you know. And you know, I wouldn't ask, especially like for when I do have teams for these larger events, I wouldn't ask anyone to do something I haven't been asked to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be right next to you doing it too if we have to, you know, clean up a mess or whatnot, or, you know, wire a bunch of, you know, wrap a bunch of cables and do the mundane stuff, or lift the heavy speakers. Like, I'm always there to do that too.
Cool. Awesome. That's super great. So I guess another question I had was, is there any like plans? Like, do you kind of go about this career, if I can say that, like in a way of like you have like goals, or are you just kind of like making sure you're busy on top of it and like doing that, or do you have like any goals for yourself in the like 2020 or the next 3 years?
Well, I guess the next step as a musician, I would like to start performing live sets. I've got, you know, quite a bit of hardware gear, so I'd like to start bringing that out. It's just expensive.
Yeah, I can imagine. So that's kind of like a step you want to get into.
Yeah, doing my own original productions live rather than just DJing.
Okay,
so cool. That'll be the next step for me also. You know, just we switch venues, you know, pretty much every year or two. So I never stay at the same spot more than once, except, you know, for the exception of, like, residencies that I've held for years. But for underground parties, it's always looking for the new spot. I guess another goal would be collaborate with a couple of close friends of mine and look at into getting a building so that we can have our own space.
Nice.
Not have to deal with, you know, the owner.
Yeah, running the show or whatever.
Yeah, or someone who's just, you know, letting us have the party so they can sell drinks or whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Yeah, that's I think that'd be super cool.
Yeah, having our own space and having our own control is going to be crucial going forward.
Do you like that stuff? Because there's, like, I guess, two sides to, like, there's, like, the actual art or production of what you're doing, and there's, like, all the, like, behind stuff, which is, like, the actual business side of
yeah,
things.
Yeah, I guess my specialty is more so in the logistics.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, making sure our budget's straight and, you know, everything's paid up front. And how are we, how are we going to generate enough cash? How are we going to promote this? You know, are we going to make sure that we're going to break even at least?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I'm all the business side of things.
Gotcha.
Like, I could do, a little bit of decorations or whatever, but, like, that's not my forte. I'm not that creative.
Gotcha. Okay, so you're really into, like, actually, like, kind of making sure.
Making sure it happens.
From a high level, yeah, like, all the pieces are in place, yep. And, like, you're just, like, kind of. And then obviously, you show up and you do your whole thing, too, on top of that. And I think at this point it's probably like second nature to you. You can like, you know, it could be any type of mood, this and that, and you could still like make.
Yeah, I mean, there are many days where I work, you know, at 6 a.m. the next day and I'll DJ till 5.
Oh, Jesus.
Or, you know, get off of work and have to immediately scramble to get to the gig or, you know, pick this up. We forgot this, forgot that.
Yeah.
Just got to make it happen in the end, so.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think that's like super relatable to anyone that like has their own businesses, like just making it happen. It's very rarely ever everything's perfect, and when it is, it's super nice and you actually appreciate it. A lot of people that go into it are like, oh, this is how it's supposed to be. Like, no, this is actually like rare, and a lot of times there's like things that are messing up and whatnot.
But at the end of the day, it's just a party.
Yeah, so that's true.
There's nothing to stress out about. You might lose a couple $100s or whatever. That's the worst case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you provide a safe environment, everyone has a good time. Like, that's why we're doing it.
Yeah, honestly, I think it's like it has something to do with like what you love. You know, it's like if you're not really passionate about it, then like it's gonna be a tough time. You know, because you're stressed that out and everything. But if like you would do that, like. There's no reason you're going to stop because it's like anyone who wouldn't want to do it for the sole reason of loving to do it, then
they and there ain't a whole lot of money in it when you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's ways to capitalize on it, but like that's like a whole nother thing too. You know?
Yeah. I try to stay in my lane.
Yeah, exactly. And that's super important too, I think. I think being authentic in this space is like super crucial. And, That's beautiful. But I want to go back, touch on sleep, because I've been, like, really into sleep lately.
We could all use more sleep.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have this app on my Apple Watch, and, like, it really tracks my sleep, and I've been starting to get on top of it. But I know I'm, like, a different person when I don't sleep. How do you manage, like, your sleep cycles or just, like, because it's – this and that all over the place. Right?
Well, weekends are rather rough for me right now. For January and February, I was doing a Friday residency where I played from 11 p.m. till 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Getting home around 2:30, maybe a little bit later. And then I work at, you know, around 6:30 in the morning. So I take, you know, 3-hour nap and then go into work, you know, work till about 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. And then take another little nap, and then many days I'll have a gig Saturday night. So just on the weekends, napping, Sunday, I'm completely dead, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, throughout the week, trying to get into routine. Like, right now, I've got a pretty good routine where I'm in bed, you know, around midnight. Okay. Trying to avoid all the blue light, trying to, eat healthier and work out every day, and avoid alcohol, and that's been working out for me.
That's probably tough because you're around alcohol all
yeah,
the time.
No, for the longest time, I'd have, you know, pretty much an unlimited bar tab every weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know.
It's like I mean, growing up, you're like, wow, like, for I'll take advantage of at least something,
It's tempting at first, and, you know, when you're younger, it's more appealing. Yeah. But nowadays, it's just.
It's like whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I get to that point. I'd rather go out now and just have, like, one nice drink that I really can enjoy or two, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
And usually they're like a cocktail bar, like that scene, mm-hmm. you know? And then, like, I enjoy my buzz way much more. No hangover, this and that. Get to bed at an early time. More, like, focused, you know? And I think if also pairing that with eating, right?
Yeah, nutrition is just as important as sleep.
Okay.
Because I don't get a lot of sleep, but I make sure, you know, I'll do like an intermittent fasting thing where, you know, only between 1 and 8.
Okay.
And
has that been good for you? You've been like that? Because I've obviously heard a lot about it and never really got around to it. I kind of naturally like kind of skip breakfast. I don't know if that.
Yeah, I skip breakfast. I'll do a smoothie around noon or 1. Between noon and 2, I'll do a smoothie and then, you know, I try to eat a lot of like chickpeas.
Yeah.
Chickpeas, beans.
Yeah, simple
a lot of
stuff.
Vegetables.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
But like that's like that nutrition will keep you sustained.
Yeah. So that sounds like it's like super crucial for you and what you do. I mean, like it's because I know with me, it's like I've same thing on the weekends. If I'm going out and whatnot with friends or we got an event or something like that and trying to get back into it on the weekdays, thankfully I got like a 9-to-5. I don't know. It's thankful, but like it's a scheduled, you know, work style. So I can do that pretty good, but I always feel like I fuck up on the weekends. So
yeah, I know it can throw your week out of whack too, especially when you're like, for me, I make my own schedule. I mean, I've got a lot of obligations, but
yeah,
it just depends, you know, some like when you're really busy, you got to look for, you know, what's the next project, you know, we got to keep things going. So
for sure.
Sleeps, you know, you're going to have to take a back seat.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. I mean, like, that's how it works sometimes. And then you also mentioned, like, working out, too. Do you find, like, working out, like, super important with that, too?
Or is it absolutely.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, at least 3 days a week.
Okay.
You know, will keep you, you know, you'll sleep better at night, especially during the weekdays when you need it.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's something that, like, those are basically my three things as well. It's, like, eating right, which I'm, like, whatever. I just, like, stay away from processed foods.
Yeah.
That's kind of my thing,
exactly.
Basically. And then I'm getting pretty good at sleep. And then the working out thing is like super crucial. I'm so dependent on working out to be in a good mood, to be focused, to be on top of things. And it's kind of like not addiction, but like I'm out of it if I have been because it's like I've had the flu and I couldn't work out and I have like the past 2 weeks I've been having so much stuff go on. I couldn't, like, and I moved too. So, like, my gym is way further away from me. So, I need to find a new gym and whatnot. But yeah, those three things, like, definitely, like, regardless of what's happening in, like, in my environment, like, I'm pretty good on top of it if I have those three things aligned, which I can control. You know?
You just got to find time to do stuff. You don't have to go to the gym every day. You can always, like, lift dumbbells while you're watching TV or looking at your phone.
Yeah. Is there anything else, or is those, like, the main three things?
I guess,
like meditation?
You know,
I don't know.
No, I don't do a lot of meditation. You know, I dedicate a lot of time to school, too, so that helps keep me, you know, learning.
Mm-hmm.
Learning
Brain
new
active.
Skills is always good. But, yeah, other than that and searching for music keeps me motivated.
Gotcha. Is that, like, kind of, like, the most, like, rewarding thing is finding new music, new venues? Or is there, I guess, like, what keeps you going? Because you've been doing this for so long. And I know I've had friends who, like, got into a kind of, like, a little side thing and it just kind of falls off. But, like, you are, like, one of those people that I've seen that is, like, no matter what, like, I've seen people start and their like musical career and you just keep going.
Yeah, you just have to be consistent. And I feel like since I'm consistent, a lot of people reach out to me, whether if they're opening up a new bar and they want to have nights or if they need a DJ for this or that occasion.
So you just kind of know that the consistency is important in building a brand.
Yep.
And you just put in the work to do that.
Yeah, and you can rely on me. I've got, you know, I'll bring out gear if we have to, if we can make a deal.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, you know, well, there's bars and restaurants and clubs opening up in Detroit, you know, every month.
Yeah, no, literally. I mean, it's always something new. I guess, like, I'm wondering, like, what, like, inside of you keeps you going in this? If it's not the money, then, like, what is it?
Well, I mean, I enjoy seeing people happy and sharing music with people.
Okay, cool. So you just like to kind of like put people in a good vibe, good state?
Yeah, and be around friends. I've got a lot of really talented friends, and I want to give them a platform, you know, to, you know, do what they do best.
Okay, so on top of you playing and stuff, you're putting on other people and...
Oh, yeah, I always have guest DJs.
Okay, cool, great. So, like, all you guys kind of, like, get together and, like, find places, and it's just all about... I guess, like, promoting their work, making sure everyone's having a good time, and I guess, like, keeping the party going week after week.
Yep.
Is there, on the flip side, is there, like, a lot of, like, bad things? Like, what's, like, some of the typical, because I'm not in this space, I don't know anything about it. What's, like, the typical, like, just bullshit you have to deal with?
Oh.
And you don't have to
Nothing's necessarily typical. It's different all the time. You know, I don't just do bar or club stuff. So some of the underground stuff gets really, you know, borderline legality. So there'll be, you know, I guess some bad experience I've had. I've had to clean up dog shit.
Wow.
Yeah.
In the venue.
Yeah.
God damn.
All right. You'll just get a warehouse, you know, the roof will be leaking. You just got to make sure, like, how do we transform this or just make it, you know, good enough so that we can have our night and, cut
ties or whatever.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But you have to really think on your feet. And I've had a lot of challenging stuff like that. You know, like cleaning up dog shit, dealing with, you know, with leaks. Like, you just have to think issues with power. Like,
yeah. Have you ever had a situation like that where, like, the music's
Oh, fun? Yeah, plenty of times.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's – wow. So, like, what happens? Like,
it depends. You know, nowadays if I'm renting out sound, I'll also think about having a generator around just in case. But sometimes you just have to, you know
– Have you ever had,
like, power the system, you know?
Cancel a show or something? Or, like, are everyone got to go – or, like
– No.
Really?
Yeah, okay. We always seem to figure it out. You know, half the people in the audience – that's the thing about Detroit. There's DJs and sound guys are always in the audience.
Really?
Yeah, so, I mean, you always got people who you can ask for help.
Okay, and it usually just ends up working out somewhere or another.
Yep. Wow. Yeah, there's always a way to make it happen.
That's so cool. Is there – I guess, like, going along, like, with the bad stuff, is there, like with, like, the actual venues, like, actual people? Not I'm not asking for people's names, but, like, is there like, a like certain thing you watch out for now with, like, people who own the location?
Yeah, reputation.
Reputation.
If, you know, someone that I respect can't vouch for you, there's a slim chance that I'm going to work with you.
Okay. So that's, like, super important, especially at your point.
I don't have time. I'm not desperate to throw these shows. Mm-hmm. I love doing these things, but I'm at the point where if it's, you know, more trouble than it's worth, I'm not going to be involved in it.
You're not going to experiment with people who, you know, there's got to be some way where...
You see a lot of people who are really thirsty just to play gigs and get that glory or whatever, make a name for themselves. I'm just kind of over that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I just want to make sure I'm safe. I want to make sure... You know, everything's squared off on the business end of things, and I don't have to worry about anything.
Gotcha.
But if I have a feeling like something's not right, I'm
trust your gut.
Much easier to walk away than.
Gotcha.
You know.
Okay, that's super interesting for me too, because I mean you're definitely at a stage where you have a brand, you have an audience and whatnot, and like
I was younger, I've been in some situations, but.
Where, like, you just experiment, try new things.
You just want to play.
Yeah.
You just want to play. And a lot of young DJs, you know, they want to play now. But there are better ways to go about it. You don't have to get tied up in, you know, someone who's not going to pay you or, you know, take advantage of you or hustle you in some way. Like,
so, because, like, I'm looking at this perspective of, like, someone who could be listening and is, like, getting into it. And they are young right now. Or, like, if you had advice for, like, someone who's younger into this.
I've got plenty of advice for younger DJs. I guess, be consistent and be a part of the community. If you're not going, you know, come out to the shows. Introduce yourself to the promoters and the other DJs. If they don't know you, you know, like, honestly, promoters and DJs, they book their friends. Like,
Gotcha. Wow.
They're not like – and there's no shortage of talented DJs in Detroit.
Yeah.
And, you know, mostly – like I'm friends with many talented DJs that I would put on. But, you know, you got to get out there, go to our shows, come say, introduce yourself and be a part of the community. And, you know, I guess – nowadays, there's a couple open deck nights that I would check out, particularly on Tuesdays at the High Dive in Hamtramck.
Okay, is that just kind of like a takeover? Everyone just kind of
Like, you know, they've got like 5 hour slots or whatever, and people sign up for it. But like, that's, you know, gear is really expensive. You're not gonna have, you know, club rig at your house. So if you want to learn how to use the gear, go out to those nights, go out to the bar and hang out and, you know, meet these other people and, you know, start learning how the gear works. And that's like a perfect opportunity. Like, I didn't have that opportunity when I was younger. We didn't have all the fancy CDJs where you just plug in your flash drive.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. I feel like the game has changed so much. But
yeah, it's, and I love it. It's becoming more accessible than everyone. Yeah. But it's also not, because of, you know, it's very expensive. The gear is very expensive.
Really?
Yeah.
How much like equipment does like a random show cost for like someone to put on?
Well, you would rent out sound and you would rent everything, but
oh really? Everyone, it's like a rental thing?
Most yeah, you would rent out sound.
Okay.
You wouldn't buy speakers just to have a party.
Gotcha. Okay. So you just okay. So, but like as far as like your own equipment. Is that like the most expensive thing, is like renting out equipment?
Talent, probably.
Talent?
Yeah.
Talent's the most expensive? Okay.
Depending. You know, I would say, yeah, sound.
I'm sure talent can like range, you know, but if you want good talent, you gotta.
Yeah, no, I try not to just book a bunch of, you know, $100 local DJs. I try to step it up a little bit more usually, but especially if we're doing an underground party. But yeah, sound's expensive and you want to make sure you have good sound.
Okay.
There's a lot of good sound companies in Detroit, and you know a lot of them will work with you. But okay. Sound's important.
How? So I'm thinking about the actual like logistics of how it works. So you go to some sound company, and they meet up with you, and they just like set up all the sound, and like you just perform, or is it a lot of you doing this stuff?
Personally,
do you pick up the equipment? Like, I don't know.
Well, personally, it depends on what's already at the venue. If there's nothing in the venue, then yeah, I'll have to, you know, contact a friend. And but I've got friends who have, you know, club systems that will all do favors for each other, you know, whenever anyone needs a hand with anything or advice or anything, you know.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm getting this whole feeling that it's like all about like not making friends, but like essentially it's like a group of people who respect each other.
Yeah.
And even though you might have not grown up with them or you don't interact with them as much, like it's just people that you can trust and rely on, and vice versa.
Exactly. That's when things become much easier than, you know, just relying on yourself.
Gotcha. So it's kind of – it is like a reputation type thing where it's like you have to people vouch for you, and then things just get a lot easier. And I think that's you just got to put the work in.
Yeah, you got to put in the work, and you'll get there.
Okay, cool. Interesting. That's – yeah, that I think that transcends a lot of I guess fields too. I think music is definitely something that's a lot of collaboration, even though it's just like one artist up there.
Exactly.
Or whatever. It's, there's a lot of background stuff, and whether it's like the location or even the audience who's there, it's like there's a lot of stuff going on. And that's what I like about music and the whole Detroit scene. It's really kind of connected in a community, and I feel like social media helps, but you can't run really a business like that. Like there's other businesses. Like
you have to be out. You have to go to the bars on even the weeknights or whenever the parties are and get to know people. You got to be part of the community. You can't just —
you could put it on. You could do all this stuff, but at the same time, it's like not enough. Like same thing with me. I had like an online business, and technically you can do everything online, you know, but especially with music, it's really getting yourself out there, and like you're not going to meet anyone at your house.
No, there's, you know, a lot of parties going on. If you're trying to throw a party, you got to use a little bit of strategy and also have people that are going to come and support you.
Gotcha. Is there any like people you would like recommend I check out a show from? Obviously, like some of your artists.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I've got tons of talented friends. Yeah. I would say
Like, what type of vibe is it, you know? Like,
it depends, man. Everything's so different, you know? Like, tonight, there's going to be a good hip-hop show on the east side over Grosse Pointe Park.
Okay.
Right at Charlevoix and Alter.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but my buddy Yarsh at the Charlevoix, they've got Jerobi White from A Tribe Called Quest coming out.
Oh, wow. A
couple other local rappers. It's going to be pretty cool.
Really? Yeah. So, like, a hip-hop venue. Is there, like, do you like a lot of diversity as far as, like, musical taste?
Or oh, yeah. I get tired of hearing boom, 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 you know, every single time I'm out. So I like a lot of down-tempo hip-hop. I like seeing live bands play rock and roll.
Okay.
I'm usually listening to rock and roll or hip-hop when I'm, you know, driving in my car or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Is there, like, I know even, like, you a couple shows I went to, it's like it was, like, disco stuff, too.
Yeah, that's, like, our specialty. Like, disco and acid house is mainly what I like to play.
Okay.
So I dabble in techno, and then, you know, but I like house music, you know. It's uplifting, and
yeah, definitely.
People can really dance to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not too experimental and weird, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a whole just like how like mainstream versus how like in depth you want to go.
You know? I feel like house music really bridges that gap.
Yeah.
Whereas people want to hear, you know, words or something that they can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that disco and house are perfect for that.
Yeah. No, I fully agree. I think like that's like a blend where anyone can like kind of come into it, enjoy themselves from it. How's the Facebook Live doing? What's going on, everyone? Yeah, we're doing
looking
a
good
Facebook Live over here too with it. But yeah, so is there I kind of want to like touch back on like you want to start doing live music and live sets. Like, what's that entail? Like, because again, I don't know this stuff, and like when you're DJing, it's like you just have a whole bunch of like tracks, like actual.
Oh yeah, when you're DJing, you know the gear is already set up. You bring a flash drive or your needles and records, and you play.
Mm-hmm.
But so, I would be for live, you know, I would bring out synthesizers, like a laptop, a bunch of effects pedals and drum machines, and
so is that
the
like
music on the fly?
Because I see that, you know, at like concerts and like this person is doing it live. So like, what does that mean? Like, I'm super noob. So
they're playing their own original music. They start with like a drum beat, and then, you know, they'll have a sequence going to like the bass, and
so
like they create that all on the fly. And
so it's literally like everything you're hearing are just like all these pieces of music that they're adding in and like taking out and like putting new
stuff.
Yeah,
they'll start with like
in
the drum track, and then, you know, they'll bring in the bass line, and they'll bring in the synth, and they'll twist a bunch of knobs. And like the beautiful thing is it's going to be different every time you do it.
Yeah.
Even if you have like, you know, you're sequencing the same melodies, but the way you go about it, you might like, oh, take too much time on one part and then before switching in. Like, it's always going to be different.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Especially when you bring all the hardware into play.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're relying on these knobs or all these external effects.
Is there, as far as, like, going into a DJ set, like, how does that work? Is it, like, you just have all your tracks lined up, and then, but you still have to, like, mix it in, right? Like,
oh, yeah, of course.
So, is that, like, kind of, like, the big thing is, like, mixing it in, and you just kind of, like, let it do its thing for a couple minutes?
Yeah, nowadays it's a lot easier because they've got these CDJs, which are essentially, you know, big computers with, like, little platters on them where you plug in your flash drive, you've got playlists, it tells you the BPM.
You kind of like sync it up or whatever?
Yep, sync it up and then mix it in and
it just flows together.
Yep, and you've got gigabytes and gigabytes of music you can play forever.
Jeez, okay, so you can like literally do anything. And
I mean, yeah, I still bring out vinyl. I mean, a lot of, most venues will have turntables, most proper venues, but you know, sometimes it doesn't happen. Sometimes we just have CDJs.
Gosh, yeah.
You know.
Okay, so with the vinyls, that's like you're literally putting on a track and like it starts spinning and
yeah, you got to use turntables and you know, turntables are prone to a lot of issues, especially in a club environment. Like, you'll get feedback, especially you'll get skipping from the subwoofers. You know, shaking.
Oh yeah,
things.
Yeah.
So you got to make sure they're properly isolated and
gotcha.
You know, able to interact with the room.
Gotcha. So it is probably a little bit more harder to do, but is it?
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass.
But why do people still do it? Is it just like, I guess, I'm sure it's harder to do, so
no,
kind of like,
it's the culture, you know.
It's the culture.
That's how people started DJing, was with records, and that's the way it's always been, and that's what you know, especially all these classic dance tracks where, you know, they would go to vinyl so that DJs could play them.
Oh, gotcha. So it's like they got it now, and it's been like that ever since.
Yeah, that's just part of the culture. You go to the record store, and, like, you find, you know, you look at all these records and listen to them there, and, you know, the record store owner or the staff will give you, you know, advice on, you know, or recommendations on what you should be getting. And
gotcha. Do you ever do, like garage sales? Do you ever, like, check
those out? Oh, yeah. Like,
what about Facebook Marketplace, even?
Like? Yeah, once in a while, you'll get, like, people selling lots. It really depends. I've had good luck at flea markets. I've had good luck at estate sales.
Gotcha.
So if there's records and I'm there, I'm going to look at them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like its own thing. What are a couple good places in Detroit for, like, buying records?
Detroit Music, Techno House, Detroit Threads.
Detroit
Threads. And Hamtramck on Joseph Campo and Throwbridge.
Okay.
I would also recommend Hello Records in Corktown.
Nice. Okay, cool. So those are a lot of options out there. It's like, yeah. Like I was saying, I just moved in, and my buddy's getting a record player, and then he's, like, starting to, like, look into a couple places. So I'm definitely going to recommend those to him.
Yeah, and a lot of people are reissuing, you know, vinyl from, you know, 20, 30 years ago.
Really? Okay.
And you can always go to, you know, any local shop and find really good music at a budget price.
Gotcha. Cool. I guess, like, is there any other hobbies outside of, like, the whole music realm that you, like, partake in?
Or
is it just, like, full?
I'm really into Magic the Gathering.
Okay. Interesting. That's cool, though. That's unique. So I play one video game and that's it, but, like,
I never got into video games, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I feel like when I was younger, I'd play, like, a couple sports or whatnot ones, but never really got into it. I always got, like, really anxious when, like, especially, like, the first-person shooters and, like, going across the corner.
I can't stand those. Like, if it's, like, reaction time, things like that, like, I can't do it. I like strategy stuff, but, like, if it's, like, reaction speed, I will always lose to.
Yeah, I feel like Magic the Gathering got me into more gaming as in a game theory rather than, you know, just shooting everything in sight.
Yeah.
So I'll enjoy, you know, I'll go over John's house when he does the board game nights once in a while.
Uh-huh.
Have a good time.
Gotcha. Is there anything else you like to do as far as, like, hobbies that, like, take up a lot of your time, or is it pretty much music?
Assurance services. Yeah. Learning about as much as I can about accounting. Basically it, you know.
How does that, like, I guess, like, blend? In general, like, why'd you get into that as opposed to?
Oh, I knew I wanted to go to school for business. Okay. I didn't go back to school until I was, like, 25 or 26. But, I feel like that was really beneficial knowing what I actually wanted to do going back to school rather than fresh out of high school. But,
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I knew I wanted to do business, but I talked to someone I consider a mentor, and they said, you know, you should, rather than just doing general business, you should do accounting. You have a really good, understanding of the financial statements. Be able to make a lot of higher-level decision-making.
Yeah, especially, and you can take that, obviously. I'm sure that's tying right back into your, like, music business is where you're going to be, like, on top of your stuff.
And being able to
– taxes, like, come on. You know,
like, no, taxes are one thing. But being able to audit, like, you know, your present and past performance will help you predict, you know, what you should feasibly be able to do in the future.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think that's, like, a whole – another aspect to, like, the music industry that a lot of people, like, might not even have, and, like, you have that on your back, and, like, that's really gonna, like, make sure you're on top of it and, like, not making, like, really dumb decisions, you know?
No, and I'm comfortable with where I'm at, you know. Like I said, I don't like doing events with more than 100 people. I like more intimate stuff.
Gotcha. That's pretty cool. We're already wrapping up over here. This went by quick, but I want to ask a couple questions, but where can everyone find you?
Like, you can find Sexual Tension Detroit on Facebook, facebook.com/TensionDetroit. You can find me on Facebook too, facebook.com/JerryDowneyMusic. We're also on Instagram, Sexual Tension Detroit, one word.
Gotcha. And those are your main ones, is like Twitter or anything like that?
I don't really use Twitter all that often.
I'm not a Twitter guy, to be honest.
Yeah.
I have one. I I never got into it. But one last question I want to ask you is as far as like this has some element of like entrepreneurship and to what you've been doing is do you feel like it's like something you're born with or is it the environment and you can be taught like everything like you kind of came up into? Is it do you find like
well, you can be taught one thing personality? You have to be able to take advice. You have to be able to not be afraid to ask questions. And, you know, I've learned a lot of things the hard way. But now that I'm able to, you know, ask for advice, look up to other people, things become a lot easier.
Gotcha. So it's just kind of like putting yourself out there and being able to listen. And
yeah, be a part of the community. Be consistent. Ask for help when you need it and help others. And it'll go from there, you know.
Don't be a dick.
Yeah.